Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Having a bit of technical difficulties, but I'm here. Praise the Lord. This is Minister Daphne Smith. Thank you so much for joining me today. Happy New Year and welcome to For the Purpose of Godliness here on Blog Talk Radio. I am so excited that you have taken the time out of your busy schedule and to join me today. Again, I am your host, Minister Daphne Smith, and what my desire is, my vision and my goal and my purpose is to bring biblical insight to issues, address your need, and plant the seed of godly purpose. I'm here every Sunday at 8 a.m., 30 minutes, 8 to 8:30 Pacific time. On Blog Talk Radio. The web address for the show is blogtalkradio.com /, for the purpose of godliness. And the phone lines are open for prayer, for comments, and questions. Praise the Lord. The call-in number is 319-527-6060. All right, so we're going to move right along. Praise the Lord. I have a question for you today. And my question for you and for me is, what is your goal? Goal, G-O-A-L, what is your goal, your vision, your mission for 2019? I was, I don't even know how I got to this. I think it was from a discussion or something on counting up the cost. And after that, I just kind of started looking up goal, vision, and mission. And I know a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us, you know, we try to make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to be better this year than I was last year. I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to be a better church member. You know, there's a lot of things. I'm going to be a better mom, a better dad, and all of these things. Get a bank account, get a car. You know, we just do a whole lot of things. So it was just kind of on my mind and on my heart. And so I just want to share with you some things that I have written down and looked up and kind of studied this week to kind of help us all with our goal, our vision, and our mission. I'm going to try to do this all of this month, but I know I can do it this week. And well, I shouldn't say that, but next week, Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll do that. All right, so it's going to be a little different, just a little different. But if you hang on in there, I promise you God has something to say to us for the beginning of 2019. Happy New Year. It's 2019. We crossed over. The song says, my soul, look back and wonder how I got over. I got to tell my testimony eventually when the Lord opens that door. My soul looks back and wonder how I got over. Okay, so goal, the definition. We're going to talk about hopefully this month and first 2 weeks of this month and probably the next 2 weeks of next month. What is our goal, vision, and mission? That's what we're going to talk about, goal, vision, and mission. So the definition, this is from an old school definition, old school dictionary, Webster, 1828. Goal is to point, set, to bound a race, and to which they run. That's the old school. To where you're running to. That's what it means. The mark. It's a starting point, a starting post, a starting point. It is the end or final purpose the end to which a design tends. I just want to preach right here. The end to which a design tends, your intention, or which a person aims to reach or accomplish. And can I say this while I'm talking? Set realistic goals. Everybody want to be a good person. I mean, most of us, especially those of us that are saved. But what are you going to do day by day to be that? The Lord just put that in my mind, I guess, or whatever. Drop that in my spirit, however y'all want to do it. But what specifically can I do right now? What specifically can I do today? Because we try to do tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and that's good. You know, you got your 5-year goal or whatever. But what can I do today, right now, to get to my goal? Okay, that's what that means. All right, set a starting point. 2 Timothy 4:7, and I'm going to be reading mostly from the Amplified Bible. He says, "I have fought the good and worthy and noble fight. I have finished the race." King James says, "Finish my course, my goal, my course. I have kept the faith." Here, the Amplified says, "firmly guarding the gospel against error." Paul says, "I finished." So can we say we finished? All right, just my question. Have you finished? And if you finished, I mean, just, I guess you go on to be with the Lord. Are we finishing those things God, accomplishing those things God has given us to do? Okay, so we're going to talk about setting goals. What is your goal? There are scriptures that apply to goals and the hard work that goes with them. I just want to stop and preach right there. Two goals and the hard work that goes with them, because we set goals and then we just stop. But you set the goals, you got to do something. You just can't sit and look at TV all day. Help us, Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, just can't sit and look at TV all day and just think it's going to come. You got to do something. Jesus did something. I want to share this with you. I'm going to try to finish this today. Jesus, I want to share something with you that I read, and I should have wrote down the scripture, in the Gospels. And I'm going to have the scripture for you, Lord willing, next week. It says that Jesus ministered to the people and during the day, and at night he spent time with the Father. He did what he had to do in the day, and he spent time with the Father. So, you know, there are things that we have to do in the day, but, you know, we need to have time for ourselves. I just want to put that out there. That's part of setting a goal for your life. Spend time with the Father. All right. All right. So let me finish. As we look at the scripture, we find that goal setting is wise, it's practical, and it's biblical. Jesus said, "I came to do the will of the Father." He didn't just come here to lollygag. He had a goal, a purpose. He had a goal, a vision, and a mission in mind. Let me just say that. All right. So when we look at scripture concerning our goals, we want to be sure that our goals align with God's will for us. Our goals should agree with the word and character of God. There's a difference between I want to make $1 million. So I could be rich and have all the, because you know I would love to have $1 million. I want to make $1 million so I can be safe and secure and all of that. You know, the practical side to this is, how can I save my money and be responsible for the things God has given me, which may add up to $1 million? You know, you want $1 million, that's wonderful. You know, but it's a day-by-day process. How can I do that? I want to lose weight, but it's a day-by-day process. I want to do this, but it's a day-by-day, process. All right. So have a specific time frame. Well, I'm in this group, and some days I'm off and some days I'm on. I'm working on being on. And have a specific time frame of when you're going to get finished with some things. And I'm saying today, I said, "Ooh, I got to get finished with these things because there's a time frame," and even, you know, because we live in time, we do. God is eternal, you know. He's infinite. Time don't bother him, but he knows, because he made it. He knows that we live in time. So, you know, you set a specific time frame and then do our best to be diligent in that. So, whatever your goal may be, first examine its purpose, and then look at it through Scripture. If we consult the Lord before and during our goal planning, because we're talking about a starting point, guidance, submit to his will, We will be amazed not only at the destination, but also at the journey. Because we just journey on. We, you know, what is our destination? I know if for those of us that are saved, our destination is heaven. But I don't want to say but. And in the meantime, we live here on this earth. So even with our destination being heaven, thank God, what are we doing? What are we doing as believers? Because there is a scripture that says work out, work it out. Work out your own salvation. It says that, you know, work it out. You know, praying and fasting, fellowshipping, all of those things are part of, you know, us being in the body of Christ. All of those things. Okay. So number one is faith. So these are some keys. Faith. Hebrews 11:6, Amplified Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to walk with God and please him. Oh my goodness. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe. You got to believe him. It's necessary. Believe that God exists. King James Version said he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So we serve a big God who can accomplish the impossible. These are my notes. There is nothing he cannot do. We can believe that he is with us. We must, can I say this? And this is me. You got to believe that he is and that he's with you. With us, and always has our best interests in mind. He is trustworthy and he is faithful. So the first thing is faith, goal setting, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently, that's work. That's a goal. Diligently seek him. So when you're planning, have faith in God. Don't have faith in yourself, because we're going to mess up. But have faith in God. I want to say this. Someone told me the other day, it says our yes is not contingent on us so much so. It's contingent on our commitment that we made to God. Because sometimes, you know, you don't feel like yes today. You feel like a no, a resounding no. But because of our commitment to God, the yes is always there. That's why you have to have faith. All right. Number two is humility. 1 Peter 5:5. It says, likewise, you younger men of lesser rank and experience. Can I say, well, all right. Be subject to your elders. Seek their counsel. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. I don't know if this scripture just came up when I was studying. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Tie on the servant's apron. For God is opposed to the proud, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and he defeats them, but he gives grace to the humble. That's the part I wanted to read. He gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace. Demanding that God do things for us, or demanding that things work out our way. I know, I've been there, done that, and I got to work on myself every day that I don't, you know, because I want things my way. You know, if it ain't my way, it's the highway. That's kind of how, you know, I am. But I can never come to a position of demanding that things work out for me. And we can never come to a position where we demand, because things change. Life comes. We live in a sinful world where things happen. So, you know, we have our goal, and it's good to have a goal and a vision and a mission, because the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. And we are perishing. Let me just say that we are perishing spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, and sometimes physically, because we don't have a vision. for ourselves. We don't have a vision for our family. We just have babies and we don't have a vision for the family. We just have a ministry, but we ain't got no vision. I'm sorry, Ebonics. We don't have a vision. We got to have one. And in all of that, we have to be humble. The Lord will exceed our goals. We need to be sure our attitude is right and is one of humility before our holy and mighty God. Number three, so we got faith, we got humility. Number three is commitment. Commit our ways to the Lord. Commitment. We need to commit ourselves to the task at hand. I know things happen. I know we get lazy. We don't want to do it because it's hard work. It's hard work. It's work. Bible talks about being diligent, diligent hands. You know, I don't think this is scripture. I think this is something I heard on the street. It says nothing come to a sleeper but a dream. But the Bible talks about those that sleep all day. You know, so commitment. We need to commit ourselves to the task at hand. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit those things that you have written down. I'm going to get a scripture for this commitment. And it talks about he will keep that we have committed to him against that day. So against the day we get lazy, I think it's in Philippians 1:6. He's going to keep us. So when we get lazy and discouraged and we don't want to do it, God's got it. He's going to bring it back to you. He's going to bring it back to you. He's going to keep, I want to say, nagging you. He's going to keep reminding you of what you gave him. Ah, I just want to shout right there. He's going to keep reminding you. Okay, so commitment. So we got 1, 2, 3, faith, humility, commitment. Okay, number four, diligence. 2 Chronicles 15:7, this is King James, it says, but as for you, be strong. Do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. That's diligence. The Bible talks about diligent hands. Goals often require hard work. We need to be diligent in our efforts. And when Joshua, I'm thinking about Joshua crossing over with the children of Israel, it's about 7 or 8 times the Lord told him to be strong and of a good courage. Be strong, of good courage. Do not fear. Be strong. Because, you know, things happen, so we got to be diligent. So we have faith, humility, commitment, diligence. Diligence requires hard work. Goals require hard work. We need to be diligent in our effort. Put the time in. Perseverance. I know I'm not going to finish all this today. Perseverance. See, we don't hear these words anymore because, you know, we, Pastor tell us, we have a popcorn mentality. So, you know, that microwave popcorn, just put it in there 2 minutes and it's out, and it tastes good while it's hot, but then it's terrible when it's cold. It's just horrible. Real popcorn, it tastes good when it's hot, and it tastes good when it's cold. It really does. But this new stuff, just horrible. Because, you know, that's not about perseverance. It's just, I want what I want when I want it. That's us. All right. So perseverance. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. King James Bible says patience. Perseverance. I just want to shout that the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. We will face setbacks and disappointments. I just told you it comes because it's life. We will face setbacks and disappointments, but we need to persevere through tough times. You put that in your mind several times. Say it today. I won't give up. I won't give up. I won't give up. I won't give up. Even when you're lazy, I won't give up. Even when you're angry, hi-ya, I won't give up. Just I won't give up. And you are going to feel like giving up. You're going to feel like throwing in the towel. And you may throw in the towel. You may throw in the towel and say, I'm done. Here's the thing about throwing in the towel. Jesus is going to pick up the towel and give it back to you. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Okay. But you, Got to persevere. All right. So alignment with God's will and his word and his will. As I said before, we must make sure that our goals are in line with God's word and his character. So number six is alignment with God's word and will. I'm going to have to number these things. And so make sure that our goal, our purposes, our vision, our mission lines up with God's word and his character. Okay, I think this is number seven. Have forethought and planning. Listen, when I read this scripture, I just wanted to scream. Luke 14:28 says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money? This is, you know, the Amplified. See if you have enough money to complete it, Suppose one of you builds a tower. Won't you sit down and because Jesus said, count up the cost. We just want to do stuff, but we don't count up the cost. I just want a pastor. I just want a minister. I just want to do this. I'm gonna have a family. I'm gonna have a house. Did you count up the cost? I remember this young man, I'm going to win the world for Jesus. I'm like, well, did you count up the cost about what it takes to win the world for Jesus? You didn't say your community, your family, or nobody. You said the world. But you got to count up the cost. Sit down, count up the cost. This is regarding discipleship. Jesus told the people, if you're going to follow me, you need to sit down, count up the cost. Because if you follow me, you're going to lose your life. That's what he said. But we don't count up the cost. We just, oh, we're so excited. And yes, Lord, hallelujah. And then we get home, huh? And then we got to live this thing. I'm sorry, preaching. I meant to teach. We got to live this thing. Count up the cost. Sit down. I got to come back some. Get your journal, because it's supposed to be a teaching moment. Get your journal. Write it down. Amen. Count up the cost. What is it going to cost me? Because that count means to take pebbles, because they didn't have what we have today. So they have pebbles, and they counted up the cost. They computed. They calculated. They reckoned. The old folks said, I reckon. They reckoned what it would cost them to do certain things. It means to put in a vote, a yes or a no. After you done counted up the cost of everything, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, or no, I don't want to do this thing. That's what it means. Count up the cost. Okay, count up the X of what it means to follow Christ. Okay, I want to read this. I got like a few more minutes. First, sit down and calculate. This comes from a commentary. This implies that one is not to rush into this, or don't rush into your goals, without some serious pondering of the cost. Just as the builder's success was contingent on careful calculations, so too the disciples' success, our success, and perseverance so too the disciples' success and perseverance would be dependent on giving serious thought to what lay ahead if one is to follow the master's steps. Peter said, 1 Peter 2:20 and 21 in the Amplified Bible, says, after all, what kind of glory is there in it if when you do wrong and are punished for it, you take it patiently? But if you bear patiently with suffering, which results when you do right, that and that is undeserved, that it is acceptable and pleasing to God. So if after, you know, you're following Jesus and things come upon you and you suffer, you know, you're going through this. I have my goals. You know, I laid it out before the Lord. I talked to the Lord. I got scripture for the things God has given me. But things happen. I keep saying that, and things happen, and you suffer for it. So what do you do? That's what Peter is saying. When you do right, and that is undeserved, it is acceptable and pleasing to God. So don't get out of joint, because don't get out of pocket, because things are not going right when you have your goals. This is acceptable and pleasing to God. 21 says, For even to this were you called. It is suffering is inseparable. See, we want the pie in the sky. I'm going to heaven, and, you know, we want to be rich, but we don't want to put time in. You know, we want to do the lottery, and we want to do all these things. You know, we don't want to put time in. I just want, you know, scratch them scratchers. You know, we don't want to do all that stuff, but we don't want to put time in. That ain't it. It says, verse 21 says, for even to this were you called, to suffer. It is inseparable from your vocation. For Christ also suffered for you, leaving you his personal example so that you should follow in his footsteps. That's the scripture. And my comments are, have you done the appropriate homework before starting your task? Have we counted up the cost? And if your answer is no, you need to go count up the cost. Stop doing what you're doing and count up the cost. See, I'm an impulsive person. I just start stuff. I really do. I start stuff. And then all of a sudden I'm going, ooh, I need to count up the cost. And some things I've finished and some things I haven't. Because it's a cost. Sometimes it costs you money. It really is going to cost you time. Jesus said this is going to cost, walking with him is going to cost you your life, your family, everything. So you need to count up the cost. Okay, the last thing is motivation. I got about 3 minutes. Motivation. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. That's our motivation. Here's another scripture. I didn't write it down. He will keep that you have committed to him against that day. That's motivation. So we need to ask the hard question. What is our motivation, our goal, and why do we want to do what we want to do? Why do we want to be in ministry? Why do we even, you know, I know the Bible calls us to be husbands and wives and, procreate and all this stuff, but, you know, why? You know, you might be better off, as Paul says, single. So, you know, we need to count up the cost. I don't know why I said that. That's for somebody. What is our motivation, our goal, and why do we want to do it? Do we have selfish motives, or are we operating with a heart towards God and man? So that's faith, you know, goals. What is our goal? What is our starting point for the year of 2019? God allowed us to cross over. My soul looks back and wonders how I got over. So now that I'm in 2019, what is my goal? What is my starting point? I must have faith, humility, commitment, diligence, perseverance. I must be aligned with God's word and will. Must have forethought and planning. Write this scripture down, Luke 14:28. Motivation. What is my motivation? What is my desire? Why am I doing this? Amen. So I got to let you go because it's almost that time. And I want to thank you so much for joining me. I asked you to come back next week, Lord willing, we'll be here. Check out the on-demand programs also on For the Purpose of Godliness. Check me out on social media. Listen, I love you with the love of God, and I'm praying for all of us that we do those things that are pleasing in the eyesight of God, because he is the only one. He is the only one. When we get finished doing whatever we're doing, God is the only one. Amen. He is it. After all of this, heaven is our goal. Amen. So join me again next Sunday, 8 to 8:30 a.m. Share this with somebody and invite someone to listen to this show. Give them the link. I love you, and I want you to know that we all must discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. God bless you. Have a great, great Sunday.